Well, if it's Friday afternoon on the Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis, that means Susie Sunshine is here counting your money. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. Most historic election in American history. One trading day left. What is the mood on Wall Street, Ms. Sunshine?
Well, the mood is jittery. The markets aren't sure. They're watching the poll numbers. As the poll numbers shift, you start to see that volatility reflected in the markets. And the markets are really on pause. We had a Fed meeting this week. No one paid attention to it, even though it's the last one before December. There's a lot of speculation that Fed may raise interest rates in December. And yet, with this election, the focus is on that. The meeting was almost completely ignored. And the markets are really trying to guess who might get into the presidential seat and what the implications of that are.
Okay, so let's look at that from both sides here. If Donald Trump becomes president, and he has about a 40% chance right now of becoming president, will the markets react favorably or unfavorably to him?
I think there's some risk with Trump becoming the president. And so for the market, because Trump is at 40% right now, they're betting that Clinton is going to win the election. If Trump wins, there's some uncertainty around him because they don't know him as a political figure. He hasn't been very clear on his policy. And there's a risk of a trade war. He's been very definite on his desire to change trade and how the U.S. trades. So if you're in the market and you're invested and you're a shareholder in an internationally exposed company, that could be an issue for you. Defense and energy are issues he's touched on. He's probably going to spend there. But again, a lot of uncertainty around Trump because the market just doesn't know.
And Hillary Clinton?
So Clinton's more of a known commodity. So the market's a little more comfortable with Clinton. They're also a little more comfortable because they've seen Clinton take the lead recently. And so the fact that that lead is decreasing in the polls is what's making everyone a little bit nervous right now. Clinton taking the presidency would be a good thing in the market's eyes in that she's more of a known commodity. So we know who she is. We know some of her policies. She's been more clear on some of the things that she would put into place. And the market is already starting to reflect that a bit. You know that she comes out, she's tough on health care. She's tough on drug stocks and drug companies. Financials would probably be weak. And then traditional energy companies would probably come under pressure, while alternative energy companies would probably be favored. So you have a little more insight as to how things would react with her as president. But again, it's that back and forth. Who's going to get it? And then what happens to Congress?
Let's assume that Donald Trump wins, but he does not hold Congress. He has a split Congress, Republican House, Democratic Senate. Can he do what he says he wants to do?
Well, what's going to be interesting if Trump gets elected is what he does in terms of fiscal policy, so government policy, and how much spend he can put in place. The markets would really like to see fiscal spend. They want to see the government step up and spend right now. We've lowered interest rates. We're trying to, you know, stimulate the economy. Things look like they're going well, but we'd like the government to step up and help that along. Trump has been vocal about defense, energy, bringing jobs back here. The wild card is you don't know what it does to international trade, because he's also been vocal about his disappointment with our agreements with foreign nations and how trade policy works. The other thing that's really important to remember is that the president appoints the Treasury Secretary. It's a member of the presidential cabinet. And so assuming that Trump is in place, it would be a very different Treasury Secretary than we might have seen historically. And so that is the person who really has to talk to Main Street. They set the economic policy. They set the fiscal policy for the government. They work through with the president how to spend. And so that becomes a key figure. And I think with Trump, it's not clear who would go in that role. It might be Carl Icahn, Wilbur Ross, big businessmen, much like Trump. So a very different person than where we've seen in the past.
Because there have been bureaucrats, essentially.
Economists, there's always a bureaucrat or two in office somewhere. And then also they've pulled some bankers in, but not billionaires. And so Trump is pulling on his billionaire friends and suggesting that maybe they should take over and help him with that policy decision. And that's a little different mindset than we've seen in
the
past.
Now, could you explain that a little bit different mindset in what way?
Well, a Treasury Secretary has to walk a fine line. They have to be able to translate policy to Main Street so the population understands what's going on. They also have to have the gravitas and the presence to reassure the financial markets that they know what they're doing, that there's a reason and a plan and a logic to the policy overall. then they're also the person who has to explain all of this to Congress. And finally, they're the person who is really the touch point with foreign markets. Because remember, what happens with our trade and our economic policy here, it's a global world. We're affecting other countries as well. So international policy. So that person has to fill a lot of roles. They're very important. And I think a big businessman is used to having things their way, running their corporation. You have to look at the type of individual who's filling that role to see if they have the characteristics so that they're able to fill all of those different roles.
All right. So there were jobs numbers today. What did those look like?
Jobs numbers today were pretty good. So we saw a gain of 161,000 jobs. That's about in line with estimates. And what was good was we saw an upward revision to last month's estimate. So last month's estimate, the number when it was reported was too low, and it's been adjusted upward. So we went from 156,000 added last month to really 191 now that they've defined their count a little bit more closely. And so that's a good sign. Unemployment nudged down to 4.9%. It had been at 5%. And most importantly, we saw wage gains. So we started to see wage gains increase. They were up 2.8% year over year. That's the biggest increase we've seen since June of 2009. So that's very reassuring, and it's also what the Fed wants to see before they go into their December meeting to consider raising interest rates.
What about the Fed? Does Janet Yellen stay on?
Here's another place where the president makes a big decision. So the chairman of the Fed serves at the pleasure of the president. And Trump has been very vocal that he doesn't agree with Janet Yellen's policy. She's the current chairman of the Fed, and so he would replace her with someone else. And I think that's an important dynamic there, too. It won't affect the Fed's actions as they go into December in their next meeting. They try to be agnostic and ignore government as much as possible. But it does mean that there's a potential change in the direction of the Fed and how they handle interest rates going forward should the chair, who's really the deciding vote, the driver of policy, should the chair of the Fed change.
Is it likely that Hillary Clinton keeps her on?
She wouldn't necessarily change regardless. Remember that Ben Bernanke moved through successive terms. We've seen Greenspan move through multiple presidents. So the chairman of the Fed doesn't necessarily change with the change in a president, but it's unclear. Hillary Clinton has not come out and said who she would appoint as chairman of the Fed, but she hasn't come out and been vocally against Janet Yellen either, and so there's the difference.
Okay, let's look at our crystal ball, move past the first 100 days of whomever the new president is. What can we expect?
I think when we move forward, fast forward to the spring, I think if the economy shows the strength that it showed today with gains in employment, we saw gains in earnings, and then we saw that jobs number being a consistent, healthy number. I think if that continues, that's a good indicator for the market in the spring, regardless of what happens with the presidential candidates. And so I think what's more important here is politics can change, underlying businesses keep operating, and as long as they stay profitable, which we're seeing U.S. businesses do and maintain their cash flow and keep that profitability high, as long as they do that, they're going to continue cranking along. The market's distracted by this near-term noise. There's a lot of noise with this election because it is so different and so controversial. And so when they get past that, I think it's an easing for the market and companies go back to earning. And hopefully that just makes everyone focus back on profitability, fundamentals, and I think that's better for the market and better for the indices.
All right, Susie Sunshine, I'm keeping you on speed dial for next week. Because hell's going to break loose no matter what happens. To Susan Schmidt, Westwood in Dallas. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you.
WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.